Turn to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37. Ezekiel in chapter 37. Now the CDs we've got back on the table's all I've got. I had tons of them and Nova Scotia wiped me out. But if there's a CD, particular CD that you want that's not back there, I'll be glad to get one for you and mail it back up here to you. The song that Connie sang and most of the songs that we're singing is on a CD called Still Blessed. And I had one this morning and it was gone. It had that. Thank God for the Preacher is out and one that's out there. And most of the songs we're singing are on the Still Blessed CD. And if you'd like one, we'll be glad to get one to you. But Ezekiel chapter 37, giving you time to get there. If you're familiar with your Bible, you should be there by now. The Bible said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said to me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God of these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. And say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now I want to know something, King James Bible Baptist believers, amen. I want to know, do you believe this story just exactly the way it's written? Well, about half-hearted. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God opened the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossed over? Do you believe that three boys went to a fiery furnace and when they come out, they didn't even smell like smoke? Do you believe that a virgin gave birth to the Son of God? Well, if you didn't believe all that, then you have no trouble believing that there was a valley full of dry bones. That's all there was. And God gave them breath. And they stood up an exceeding great army. I want to look at verse 7, I believe it is. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. I want to preach tonight for a little bit on this thought. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Now, if you don't get anything out of this message, would you please get this? If there's one thing our churches need today, if there's one thing America needs today, we need a shaking from God. Amen. And if I asked you to raise your hand tonight, I imagine all of you in here would say, Yes, sir, I need a good stirring. I need a good shaking from God. As I was looking at these passages of scriptures, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and gave me these points. And we're going to look at these bones as if we might look at the church and the age that we're living in. I want to say, first of all, it said that they was in the midst of the valley. The midst of the valley. I want you to know that's where the church is today. And when I speak of the church, I'm speaking overall, not just one particular body. And I'll say today, we are in the Laodicean church age. Now, if you think about it, in Revelation chapter 3, I'll turn there. There's not a whole lot good said about the Laodicean age. Here's what the Bible says. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That is the Laodicean church age we're living in. If you look on down, we find out that Jesus is knocking at the door. Now, we use that for soul winning, and that's fine. He's knocking on your heart's door and wants you to come in. But in the context of the message, in the Laodicean age, he's knocking. Can I come in? Can I come in? Where is Jesus in this age we're living in? He's outside the church. Amen. Now, the good thing about the Laodicean age is this. It's the last age before Jesus comes. And thank God he's coming, and he could come at any time. But until he comes, we need a good shaking and a good stirring from God. I'll say this, door-to-door visitation has become cold in this Laodicean age. It's become suspicious. You knock at a door, amen, and people look at you differently than they did 10 years ago. Amen. I hate those peepholes they got in doors these days. Whoever invented that, I'd like to smack them. Amen. Because I like the surprise attack. They open the door, there I am. But now they can look you over. They're trying to figure out who you are before you even get to explain who you are. And there they are. They're looking, well, is he a JW or is he a moron? A JW or a Mormon? Amen. One time I was knocking doors, and it was like that. I could feel people coming up, looking in the peephole. I could hear them walking up to it, and they weren't opening the doors. They was walking away. So finally a guy walked up. I could feel something looking at me through the peephole, and I yelled and said, I'm not a JW. I tell you, the door's unlocked. That guy opened the door. He said, thank God, come on in. And I got to witness to him and tell him about the Lord. But I'm telling you, it's difficult today because of the age that we're in, amen, to get indoors to talk to people. Let me say that the false preachers have hurt the cause of Christ today. The TV preachers, the Joel Osteens. What an idiot he is. They bought the Compaq Center out in Houston, Texas. I've been there for a basketball game when the Lakers played the Houston Rockets. I went to a game there, and now they've built them a new stadium. And he bought that old Compaq Center, and on the first Sunday had 56,000 people in church. And if the rapture wouldn't happen, there would not have been enough people gone in the rapture that they'd even know something happened out there. On the Larry King Live show, amen, he interviewed this Joel Osteen. And Joel Osteen never gave a clear-cut message of salvation. When asked about Muslims, he said, well, you know, that's God's business. That's not mine. He's got that grin. I hate that grin. It's like to slap his face. Amen. You know, you come down to our church and we ain't going to preach against sin and it's just going to be nice and we're going to hug the women on our way out. Amen. And you're just going to get the warm fuzzies when you're at our church. I tell you, I don't want anybody to have the warm fuzzies when I preach. If you leave here and say, oh, Drummond, that just made me feel good all over, I have missed the mark. I have come here to put a burr in your saddle. Amen. Amen. I don't want you to feel good. I want you to be so uncomfortable. Amen. You can't sit in your seat. You got to come down here and do some business with God. But we're living in a feel-good day. And we've got, amen, now we've got Joyce Myers. If she ever comes to Boston, would you please go and kick her for me? I'm going to tell you something, bless God. That woman is not called to preach. God never called a woman to preach. God called women to stay home, amen, and have babies. And plenty of them. So we can have a lot of grandbabies. Amen. That's why God made you, lady. Say amen right there. Well, I'm a career woman. God never called you to be a career woman. God called you to learn how to cook. You know how to cook? Good. Cook something. Amen. And I'm not talking about throwing in a microwave and nuking it for a half hour. I'm talking about taking some flour, taking a little bit of salt, taking some milk, and making a big cat head biscuit. Amen. Some of you probably know what a cat head is. Amen. I tell you, I'm talking about cooking bacon. I want to hear it go. I don't want that hard, stiff stuff that comes out of the microwave. I want it greased up. Amen. Throw some gravy. Know how to make gravy. Do you know how to do all this? Say yes. Don't hurt my message. Amen. Oh, yeah, I know how. Yeah, well, hey, look here, man. I work 9 to 5, and I'm telling you, I don't have time to cook a meal, and I just let the old bird do whatever he wants to do. Well, you're wrong. You ought to learn to cook. Learn to sew. Learn to do something besides, amen, run, push a cash register. That's good preaching. Amen. I didn't say this was popular. You didn't get the warm fuzzies over that, did you? Joyce Myers. And you know, I was watching her one day, going through channels, and I come across her. There she was in her nice slack outfit. Amen. Behind the desk. God's holy desk. Hey, well, it wasn't holy there. Amen. And they scan the audience. And you know what I saw, Eric? Men sitting there listening to her. You would have to be the wimpiest, sorriest, yellow-bellied man I ever would have met to go hear a woman preach. Most of you men have a hard time when your woman preaches at you at the house. And now you're going to have a woman preach at you at the house and then get up behind the desk and preach at you? Hey, this is our time of relief. Enjoy it. Amen. Now, ladies, don't. I love you. My wife is a woman. I love her. My mama was one. I love her. But there's a place for a woman. Amen. In the great, amen, command of God. It's God. It's man. It's woman. That's the chain of command. It's not God, woman, man. Hey, man wasn't made for the woman. Woman was made for the man. Where am I at, Bible believers? I love you. She's an idiot. And besides that, how in the world can she be the husband of one wife? I want to ask her that one day if I ever see her. Joyce, how can you be the husband of one wife? That is one of the qualifications, is it not? That's what it says. So no woman is called to preach. So don't listen to her. Don't buy her books. Amen. She's an idiot. Everybody got it? Say it with me. She's an idiot. Good. I'm glad we got that. Today, I'm afraid churches, they don't want preaching anymore. They want entertainment. Connie and I didn't come here to entertain you. We came to minister unto you in song. Amen. And to worship and praise our lovely Savior who deserves all the praise. I didn't come here to entertain you with my preaching. I came here to preach to you this Word of God. Amen. But churches, man, they want a rock concert. Oh, yeah, they want their high-powered drum set. Blah, 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 blah. They want their bass guitar. They want their electric guitar. Jesus! 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 It's a bunch of baloney! This contemporary Christian music is not fit for dogs to listen to. Say amen. And if any of you go to a church that's having their screen pulled down and follow the bouncing ball and sing your 7-11 choruses, seven words repeated 11 times, amen, find you another church. That's good preaching, Drummond. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate the help. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 5, please. Keep your place there and go to Jeremiah chapter 5. It's nonsense is what we got today. And look at Jeremiah chapter 5 and look what it says in verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. Well, come on, is that today or not? And the priest bear rule by their means. They ain't full with the Holy Ghost. Hey, the average church that ain't a Bible-believing church wouldn't even know the Holy Ghost if it walked in. Amen. And look what it says. And my people love to have it so. There it is. That's what they want. They want that slick religion. They want that slick preacher. They want out at 11:30. They want an hour of singing and a 5-minute talk. Amen. They want a preacher with his polo shirt on and his sandals and his Bermuda short set on a stool and read some magazine and give them some magazine out of some stupid Christian literature thing. Amen. I'm telling you, it's an abomination to God. We don't need stories. We need preaching. I was raised in a church that had two pulpits. One on this side and one on that side. Over here, they read the scripture. Over here, he gave a little talk. And I found out at a young age, what he read over there had nothing to do with what he said over here. And then it dawned on me one time, two pulpits. One over there, one there. And Jesus died between two thieves. Well, you say, I don't like that. You're wrong, I'm right. People don't want hard preaching. They want entertainment. People don't want their shoes stepped on. They want a bunch of holy laughter and laughing and rolling around. Amen. Now, I like laughing. I like having a good time better than anybody does. But I'm telling you, hey, my boy said one thing about my dad's preaching, talking about me. He said, my dad can get you laughing and cut you to pieces and you not even know it. That was a compliment. Amen. Because I do enjoy humor. But I tell you, with the humor, you got to give the gospel. Amen. And you got to do the surgery on people's hearts. Down in Pensacola, they had that Brownsville revival come through there. I was down there with Brother Jim McGahee preaching and when all that was going on. And he said, yeah, Brother Drummond, he said, they've had 85,000 people saved at that Brownsville revival. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. So how many people's in Pensacola? He said, 85,000. I said, you mean to tell me all of Pensacola saved? Oh, yeah, just ask them. They'll tell you. The whole city saved. I said, well, I guess you don't have any crime. Yeah, are you kidding me? There's places in Pensacola you can't even go on a Friday, Saturday night. Hello? One night they said a woman got up there and said, the Lord has told me to bark like a dog. And she stood before the congregation. Arr, 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 arr. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost never told any woman Amen. To stand up and bark like a dog. Right. Then they'd go into trances. And they'd stand there for a half hour to an hour. That ain't the Holy Ghost. And then they'd have this holy laughter where they'd get on the floor and roll around in some stupid thing. Amen. God wasn't in that. We have this church up home, amen. It's called the Rock Church, and they have balloons they hold. And at a certain time in their service, when they're all jumping down and real happy, they let the balloons go. That just, didn't you feel it? I got goosebumps even talking about it. Wow. And all the balloons are on the ceiling. And the janitor has to get them all down after church. Amen. It's a bunch of junk. Amen. I'm telling you today, churches have sold out to the world. Churches have compromised their convictions. Amen. What's wrong with good old godly convictions today? What's wrong with women dressing like women and men looking like men coming to the house of God? Amen. Amen. They've gone after numbers. They've taken Baptists off their church names. Amen. We've gone down the road. I've seen someone's called, come across this place called The Journey. One, The Journey Church. It's just The Journey. Found another one called The Park. And when I think of a park, I think of slides and a swing set. I don't think of a Starbucks franchise in the foyer of the church. That's it. Get your double latte and just go on in and have you a nice seat. You want a double-double or a single-double? Just take it, come right on in and have a seat and drink your coffee to the glory of God. That's blasphemous. Listen, this building is not holy. There's nothing holy about this building until you people get here. Then, amen, it becomes the house of God, a place for God to meet with man. Amen. And it's a holy place, and it's not a place where we're to, amen, just anything goes. That's right, but we're Laodicean. I've seen, amen, the community church, the agape church, the love church, the truth church. And we could go on and on and on with these churches that are in Humpton. You've seen them around here. You drive around, they're everywhere. All these new, amen, new churches bursting. And I mean, they've got their crowd. Oh, yeah. But have you looked at the crowd? They got their contemporary artist. Have you ever looked at some of them? Go to your Christian bookstore, if there is such a thing up here. Should call it religious bookstore. Because if they got anything but the King James, they're not Christian. And go to the contemporary section and take a look at these guys. Here they are. Oh, they really got the joy of the Lord, don't they? They got their long, straggly hair, their earrings, their tattoos all over the place. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's an abomination. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm telling you, we are in the midst of the valley. I want to say number two, not only was this in these bones in the midst of the valley, but they were dry. Look at verse 2. He said, he calls me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You know what I found out today? Churches have become dry. Dry. Hey, let me ask you, when was the last time you hit an altar and shed some tears? I mean, really shed some tears. Tears over sinners that are going to hell. Or tears over your sin and your lack of victory in your life and your carnality that's in your heart. When was the last time that brought you to tears? Where you cried out for God, amen, for a cleansing. Amen. Mark McGahey and I have started youth camps. I said a little bit about that this morning. And we're down in Alabama, and man, we bring in kids from all over. I think this year, we had 2 weeks this year. We had 13 churches from 7 different states. We had churches fly from New York down just for our camp meeting. Paid a lot of money to come and sit and hear Brother Mark McGahey and I rip their faces off. Amen, they did. But there's not a lot of good youth camps out there anymore. And we get those kids in there. We take their iPods away. Amen. We take their Game Boys away. We take their cell phone don't work out there where we take them. No signal for a cell phone. We take magazines away, CDs away. We take everything from them and set them out there, amen, and preach twice in the morning and twice at night and have activities in the afternoon. And Monday, they're usually like this. And we don't see a big move Monday. But I tell you, as Mark and I begin to preach to them throughout the week, we see them start to break down. And one Thursday we saw such a rush to the altar. Amen. That everybody, there was nobody in their seats. Kids were crying in the concrete. Kids were crying at the altar. And we had these two wooden benches set up. And when they all got back to their seat, I looked down at these benches. And there wasn't a drop. There was puddles of tears. And I took my hand and I went down there, that bench, one bench, and scooped them up in my hand. And I said, I want you to see this, kids. And I turned my hand, and it was like I had water in the palm of my hand. And it was their tears that poured out, amen, onto the concrete over conviction, over, amen, their life, over the way they were living and their carnality. You know what we need, preacher? We need adult youth camp. Let me take your cell phone for a week. Let me take your iPod. Let me take your MP3 player. Let me take your little doodle list, amen, and everything you got going on your Raspberry and everything. Is that what they call Blackberries, Raspberries, whatever they are, amen. Let me have your TV for a week. Set you in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by coyotes and water, amen. And let's see if you don't get right with God. Amen. And people say, well, that was just emotions. That's all it was. Well, all right, what's this? That was just a bunch of flesh. All that was coming to the altar was just a flesh and a show of emotions. Well, what's sitting in a church service like this and never coming to the altar and never letting the preaching affect you? Just let it run off your back. I'll tell you what that is. That's a bunch of flesh and that's a bunch of wicked emotions. I'd rather see kids get right for a week and go back and have their churches fired up. Amen. If it lasts 6 weeks, thank God for 6 weeks. We become dry. People all around us going to hell. Really, who cares? That's good. Amen. Dry, dry, dry. Psalm 126 says, those that go forth weeping shall doubtless come again, bringing what? Their sheaves with them. Maybe if we went door to door or went out on the streets with a broken heart, maybe it'd do a difference in seeing some people saved. Well, thank you very much. Amen. Dry. I looked at verse 1 and verse 3, and you know what I saw in this text? It was just bones. Point number 3, just bones. Boy, I asked God, now I don't know what this is talking about here. You got to help me. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and he said, Rick, what churches are today are just skeletons of what they used to be. Hey, thank God for the great revivals this country had. I mean, we are in the middle, amen, of where the great awakening took place in America. Hey, not far from here, those great men of God stood up, Jonathan Edwards, and preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. And Jonathan Whitfield stood out here, amen, and preached his great messages. Somebody said that John Whitfield could go out to a field and preach to 5,000 or 6,000 people without a PA system. Amen. What a great moving, what a great heritage this part of the country has. But you know what? Some churches today, they want to live in the past and hold on to that past. What a great, I mean, their churches are dead. There's no life at all in some of their churches. And they think, well, it used to be. I thank God for all the great revivals, but honest to goodness, those great revivals of 100 years ago are not helping me today. I need my own revival. I need to see God move. I want to see the Holy Ghost come in and move upon people. Over there in Pittsburgh, right outside Pittsburgh, McKeesport, a man bought a Methodist church over there. It was up for sale. It got down to 2 people. And they won $180,000 for it. He bought it for $80,000. And set up a Baptist church, this old Methodist. I mean, stained glass, beautiful. Seat about 1,000 people in there. And he got to looking in the old church records. They left everything. And in them old church records, it was reported where Billy Sunday had preached in that place on two different occasions. I stood behind the very pulpit that Billy Sunday preached behind there. It was reported two different times of 450 people getting saved. You know what the amazing thing was? The First Baptist Church down the street profited most of those people that got saved. They went down there and was baptized and became Baptist church members in that church. And that church was on fire, and this old Methodist church was on fire, and now the Methodists had to sell the building to a Baptist, and the old First Church down there, Baptist church, is nothing. It's gone. All the stained glass is gone. It's boarded up. An old building. Oh, beautiful, old building. But dead. Gone. Locks on the doors. People trying to work something up on something that happened 100 years ago. I tell you, when we went to evangelism, I asked God for one thing. I did not ask Him for money. I did not ask Him even for my health. I said, God, I want my kids to see You. And if my kids will see You, amen, it'll help them on down the road in their lives. And I got a boy right now, bless his heart, he's confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Amen. And he's into this music that ain't my kind of music. He's into contemporary, and he's going to a contemporary church right now. I'm telling you, he told Jimmy not long ago playing golf. He said, you know what? I feel like I'm headed in the wrong direction. I feel like, you know, I need to get back to the way it used to be. I said, I know Dad don't approve of what I'm doing. And he said, I don't know if all this is worth it or not. I'll tell you what, you know what it is? Oh, yeah. He might get in all that excitement, jumping up and down and playing all that electrical music, but he still remembers them old days. He's seen God move. That boy knows when it's God, and he knows when it's worked up. And I tell you, that's what we need. And I tell you, these girls right here, and this little boy right here, they need to see revival. They need to see the moving of God like it was. And thank God for the way it was. But I want it again. Don't you? I tell you, I want to see revival. I think we can have revival again. I don't see why America can't have revival. I don't see why this area cannot have revival. I don't see why this church cannot have revival. And I sure don't know why you can't. How much God do you want? If you want just enough to be fireproof, and to get to heaven, you can have that much God. But if you want this much, it's yours for the asking and for the seeking. Amen. Just dry, amen, bones. I want to say that number whatever this is for, these bones was breathless. They were just bones. There was no bones. There was no flesh. There was no heart. There was no organs, there was no blood, there was no hair. They were breathless. And I'll tell you, friend, the church has become breathless today. Amen. And it's time that we take a stand again. It's time we preach against alcohol. And I'm telling you, we preach against all kinds of. Today they've got it in lemonade. Amen. And we got to preach against that. We got to preach against every kind of liquor there is. We ought to stay. We ought to use the pulpit as a place to preach against it. Amen. And let this community go that it's sin. Amen. For that to give neighbor drink is a wicked sin. We got to preach. We need to take a stand against the drug culture of this world and preach against the drugs and preach against the pushers, amen, that are infiltrating our schools and getting our young people hooked on drugs. Marijuana, it's a sin. Starts there and goes all the way up. It's all sin. Amen. Even now they're giving kids Ritalin pills. And man, they're selling them for $5 a hit. Amen. Because they found out you can get a rush by taking Ritalin. It's sin. And we need to proclaim it and take a breath on it. We need to, amen, to still stand against sodomy. And the queers. Amen. They say in Canada, now you can't say, you know, that up here because that's a hate crime now. You'll have to take sensitivity classes and they'll put you in jail. I made a point everywhere I went. I was in Halifax. That's probably the queer capital of Canada. And I probably said queer more than I said any other word. Queer. I even opened the door. Queer, 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 queer. I yelled it outside. I'm telling you what, friend. We ought to take a stand against that junk. It's not another lifestyle. It's sin according to Romans 1. And we ought to preach against it. And we ought to preach against wicked politicians. Hillary needs preached against. Boomhama needs to be preached against. And all the other wicked politicians, they ought to be preached against. Amen. Use the pulpit as a means to preach who you should vote for and who you shouldn't vote for. And by the way, I am sick and tired of our churches being passive instead of active. Amen. You know what the average church member is like? He's like a floor mat. So the world could come and rub their feet on us. I'm not a floor mat. I'm a child of God. My Father is the King of Kings, the Creator of all heaven and earth. And people are not going to push me around. Amen. If I want to preach somewhere, I'll preach somewhere. If I want to pray where everybody in the restaurant can hear it, I'll pray where everybody can hear it. I'm not ashamed of my God. Years ago, I'd never preached on the street before. I'm probably street preaching wise with my throat, and because I try and preach as loud as I can, I got about 5 minutes and I'm done. We go to Opelika every year, and I'll be there at the end of this month, and we'll go to Auburn University and we'll pass out about 5,000 tracts down there and talk to them young people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been to the courthouse steps of Montgomery, Alabama and Opelika and preach there, amen, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they started taking down the Ten Commandments. You remember that was? Well, that church took a stand against it. We went down there and, amen, spoke our word. And there wasn't nothing they could do about it. We were on the public street. They can't lock us in jail for telling the truth. Amen. 1 year I went to Myrtle Beach. I never preached on the street before, and I got there on a Saturday, and the preacher said, hey, we're street preaching tonight down on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach. I said, hey, that sounds like fun. He said, yeah, this is biker week. There's 56,000 Harley-Davidson motorcycle bikes in town. I said, there's what? He said, the Hell's Angels are there, the Outlaws are there, the Renegades are there, all of them are there. And we're going to do what? We're going to go down there and preach to them. I said, we're going to get killed. He said, no, Drummond, come on. I said, all right, let's go. I'm for it. Probably the biggest lie I ever said. So we got down there at the first place, the first stop, and I made sure I was in the back, and I kind of stooped down a little bit because I didn't want it to be my turn. And he said, Drummond, you preach first. And I'd never done this before. And I got this big booming voice, and man, I looked over at this motel on the other side of the street, and there was people hanging over railing, man. They had their chains on, their collars on. Hey, amen. They whips, they had it all. They had their horns, amen, on their heads. And I looked at all that mess. And that was the women. I hadn't even told you what the men had on. And I looked over there and I looked back at that preacher. And I said, we are crazy. Preach. And I held up the Bible and I held up my hand. And I went, the Bible says! And when it did, it hit that motel. My voice hit that building with such force that for 3 blocks you could hear, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. And when I yelled that across there and it boomed out like that, they all quit everything they was doing and every head turn to me. Oh, it was so quiet. It was like that commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And I went, the Bible says. And I'm going, oh God, what does the Bible say? Man, I had eternal lock. I couldn't think of anything. Finally, I said, Jesus wept. And I gave about 3 minutes of the best I could of whatever I could think of. And here come the police. And I said, hallelujah. We are going home now. And that policeman walked up to us. Me and the pastor stand there. And he said, we have never seen crowd control like this in all the years they've had this thing. And they said, here's what we're going to do. There's going to be about 10 of us. We're going to escort you down to each corner, a mile down, and cross the street and a mile back up, and you just preach whatever you want to preach as long as you want to preach. I tell you what, the next time it was my turn, I had a little bit more going. Knowing I had police around me, yes, sir, bring it on. I mean, the Bible said something that time. Amen. The Bible says, you're going to burn like a sausage. Amen. I am not. Well, listen, I've got this written down. It's time that we started intimidating the world instead of the world intimidating us. Well, they'll kill us. Oh, wow, that's a bad deal, ain't it? I mean, you're only going to heaven. Well, I mean, most of you praying, oh, God, let's go to heaven, let's go to heaven. And then when it's time to go, you get a pain in your chest, you go, oh, call 911, hurry. I think I'm dying. Ah, well, I thought you wanted to die. Well, yeah, not today. Let me give you the last thing. Spiritual CPR is my last point. It said in verse 7 there, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Can you imagine this, friend? Here's Ezekiel, a man just like us. And he's down there minding his own business. And God brought him out in this mist of the bones. And he's looking at all these dry bones, going, look at all this. And God says, Ezekiel, for a son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, yeah, they live. Thou knowest. He said, speak to these bones. Ha, 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 yeah, you want me to speak to these bones, right? You want me. That's what he said. Prophesy, Ezekiel, under these bones. Now imagine Ezekiel's thinking, oh boy, I should not have had that third cup of coffee. I knew staying up late and eating tacos at 10 o'clock at night would do this to me. But he said, all right, Lord, here it goes. Bones live! And they started rattling. And they started shaking. And the foot bone was connected to the ankle bone. And the ankle bone connected to the leg bone. And the leg bone connected to the knee bone. And the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. And the thigh bone connected to the backbone. And the backbone connected to the spine bone. And the spine bone connected to the shoulder bone. And the shoulder bone connected to the collarbone. And the collarbone connected to the neck bone. And the neck bone connected to the head bone. Hear the word of the Lord. I did the best I could, guys.
Amen.
And all these bones started coming together right before his eyes. And all of this happened just in a split second because it said the sinews came. I didn't know what that was. And so I looked it up in the dictionary. The sinews is everything under your flesh. It's your guts, your heart, the intestines. And while he's standing there looking, I mean, just for a brief second, wow, look at that! And then the skin covered all that. And now there's just bodies in this open field. Wow. And then God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. And right now Ezekiel's going, no problem. Hey, wind! Breathe on these bones. And they stood up, an exceeding great army. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Churches have become dead. Churches become nothing but bones. Churches have become cold. Some of you in here, just cold. Some of you in here are just dead. You've lost your zeal. You've lost your joy. And you need the Holy Ghost to breathe on you again. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. He can do it if you want it. He can give you revival if you want it. Hey, what's keeping your family from having revival? There's nothing. God can give your family as much God as they want. What's keeping your family from having revival? You and your wifey. What's keeping you folks from having revival? And you, all you folks, what's keeping you from having a Holy Ghost revival? If you want it, God will give it to you. But you're going to have to, amen, might have to confess some sin, might have to get right about some stuff, might have to quit doing some things you've been doing, might have to quit watching some things you've been watching, might have to quit listening to some things you've been listening to, all that rock music and country music and rap music and contemporary music. Might have to quit all that. But do you want it? How many of you would say, and I want you to raise your hand now if this is true, I need a shaking. How many like it? Then why don't you come get shook up. Father, I pray that you'd bless the message, bless the invitation. I pray people come get a stirring. They raised their hand. They said they needed it. Now, God, I pray they'd come and get a dose of the real thing. And God, you'd send revival to these people and to this church. God, I believe you can. I believe you want to. I just believe these people, God, I want it. God, I desire it. And you do it, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just fill up the aisle there. If we've run out of room down here, that's good.